What is worship? What is true worship? Well, you know, whatever is worth the most to you, and we see that in the word itself, worship, taken from worth, you see the word worth in worship, worth-ship. Whatever is worth the most to you, whatever is worthy of your reverence and your honor, that's what you worship. You might say, well, that's God. That's what I worship. God is worth the most to me. He's worthy of my reverence and honor. But we got to be careful. We got to be careful. We might say that with our lips. You might say that with your lips. But is it truly God that means the most to you? Is it truly God with your heart and not the lips only? Or is there something else that you give more of your attention to? Is there something else that is worth more to you than God? Than Jesus Christ. We need to examine ourselves. Jesus quoted Isaiah to some people, and he said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And in that passage in Isaiah, it talks about how every other thing that we do in worship is just noise to God. It's actually disgusting to him. He doesn't like it. Our songs, anything, if our heart is not right. Doesn't matter what we do. We can come to worship services. We can read our Bible. We can pray. We can get baptized. We can do all kinds of religious things, religious activities. But if our heart is wrong, then it's not worship. We've got to be careful. Jesus told those people that. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Examine yourself. I need to examine myself. And so the question is, what are you worshiping? What are you giving the most of your devotion and your attention to? What is the object of your worship? We looked at a lot of this last week, didn't we? We've got to watch out for these other things that we love so much that we give a lot of our attention and devotion to because they can creep up. Those are our idols. Those are our gods with a little g. We've got to watch out. What is the object of your worship? True worship. Let's look at it. True worship. What is it? Well, we're talking about worshiping Christ. We're talking about worshiping Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard somebody say, or have you ever been guilty of saying, going to a worship service and then you leave there and you get home or you get in the car with whoever you're with and you just say, or maybe you've heard somebody say it. I won't put you in that category. But you get in the car and you say, I didn't get anything out of that. I didn't get anything out of that sermon. I didn't get anything out of that worship service. Yeah, I come to church once a week to get something. I didn't get anything out of that. You ever been guilty of that? You ever know? You ever heard that before? I've heard it. I've heard it a bunch of times. Well, this is a wrong view of worship. When we say, I didn't get anything out of that, that's a wrong view of worship. It's not what you got. It's what you gave. That's what worship is. Not what you got. It's what you gave. In worship, too often we're caught thinking that the congregation is the audience and the ministers and the choir are the performers. But that's not God's way. That's not what worship is. That's not what He's called us to. And I know this is on Chris's heart. This is God's heart. The truth is, Jesus is the audience. And the ministers and the choir are leading the congregation to be the performers. That's what worship is. This is not the audience. Jesus is the audience. You're the performers. Me, Chris, and the choir, we're trying to lead you all. And hopefully I'm right. And hopefully you're right. And we've got our hearts right. And we're ready to worship. And we're leading you all to worship. He's the audience. That's true worship. But that's true worship here. That's true worship in this setting. That's true worship in a worship service on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or whenever you do it. That's congregational worship. That's corporate worship. True corporate worship. But true worship, period, Chris was alluding to this, true worship, period, takes place anywhere at any time. True worship is anywhere. It's everywhere. One of the great pictures of worship in other places that I often think of is in Genesis chapter 47, when Israel's coming to the end of his life. Who is Jacob? Israel, Jacob, same person. He's coming to the end of his life, and he's talking to his son Joseph. This is in Genesis chapter 47, verses 28 to 31. And he's telling Joseph about his burial. He knows he's coming to the end. And it says this: Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years, and the years of his life were 147. When the time drew near for Israel to die, he called for his son Joseph and said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh and promise that you will show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt, but when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried." "I will do as you say," he said. "Swear to me," he said. Then Joseph swore to him, and Israel worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. You see it? That's worship anywhere, everywhere. He's just having that conversation with his son. This old man, it says, he just leaned on the top of his staff and he worshipped. He worshipped. He worshipped. Worshipped the Lord anywhere, everywhere. You can worship the Lord at Walmart. I think I preached a whole sermon on worshiping at Walmart. But you can worship the Lord at Walmart. How's that play out? You're standing in line. Do you have anything better to do than to worship the Lord? Maybe witness to somebody. But you're standing in line and you're just waiting. You've got three people in front of you with carts full. You got to be there a while. And can you worship? Yeah, your eyes wander and you see a magazine and it's got some apples on the advertisement on the front. And you say, "Lord, I thank you. You tell me in your word that I am the apple of your eye." Wow, Lord, I can't believe I'm so special to you. Thank you. What are you doing? You're not saying all that. The lady in front of you is like, "What are you talking about with apples? What? What?" But you're worshiping. You're saying that. You're what are you doing? You're communicating with God. You're praying to God. You're saying that in your heart. "Thank you that I am the apple of your eye. God, that's amazing." You just worship him. Then all of a sudden a car drives by and the glare from the car, the sunlight blinds you for a second and you're still waiting in that line. You say, "Oh," you say, "you know, I need to keep the sun in my eyes, the S-O-N, Jesus." And you're like, "Wow, the sun was just in my eyes, the S-U-N. And it reminds you, I need to keep the sun." All this, you're just waiting in line. "I need to keep the S-O-N in my eyes." So you start thinking about Jesus. "Lord, teach me to do that. Keep me. Help me to keep my focus on you. Help me to keep my eyes fixed on you." And what are you doing? You're worshiping. You're worshiping at Walmart. That's how it plays out. Worship anytime, anywhere, everywhere. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Chris was telling us about this. Let's look at it. Isaiah chapter 6. Here's a great picture of worship. God gives us a wonderful picture in this passage. Isaiah chapter 6. If you're new at this, open your Bible to the middle and turn back a little bit. If you're in the Psalms, turn forward some. If you're you're in Jeremiah, turn backwards and you find Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Look at these first 9 verses. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving." And it goes on from there, and God gives him his assignment. What a picture of worship. That's what it is, isn't it, Chris? That's what we're supposed to be doing. What a picture that God gives us. So, let me go ahead and pray before I get any further. Father, please speak to us. Teach us. Teach us to worship you individually, personally, corporately, wherever we are. Teach us, Lord. Get me out of the way. Let us hear your voice. Let us hear your message, Jesus. We pray it in your name. Amen. So, God gives us a great picture. So, do it. Well, how do I do it? How do I do it? How do I do it here in this corporate setting? How do I do it often? How do I do it personally? And how do I do it always? Well, let's look at it. First of all, in worship, focus on Him. That's the first thing you do. Focus on Him. We see that in the first 4 verses. Isaiah is focused completely on the Lord in the year that King Uzziah died, 740 BC, right around there. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Focus on Him. I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, 2 they covered their feet, 2 they were flying. They're shouting this to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook and the temple was filled with smoke. What does Isaiah do first? He focuses on the Lord. He focuses on Him. That's what you need to do. That's the first thing we do in worship. Focus on Him. His glory. The Hebrew word is kabod for glory. It's translated glory, and it means honor or weight. So the glory of God, that's the honor, the weight of God. Can you imagine? The honor and weight of God. Almighty God, who spoke the universe into being. The glory of God. His honor, His weight. His glory, what does it tell us here? His glory fills the whole earth. And so the honor and the weight of God fills the whole earth. Focus on Him. Isaiah's focused on Him. Well, you can focus on Him in many different ways. God's given you countless pictures of Himself. Jesus Christ, that's God personified. That's if you want to just see how God is, just look at Jesus. That was God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. That's when God left heaven and came down and put on a human body. That was God. There's God walking among us. We can see what He's like. We can see what He does. There's Almighty God in the person of Jesus. So just look at Jesus. You want to focus on God? If that's the first step in worship, look at Jesus. Look at the countless examples. Just a couple I thought of. Jesus on the water. Just put yourself there. Just see Jesus Christ when you're sitting in a boat and you're about to drown and you can barely fight the storm, and then you hear this splashing on the water, and you look out and Jesus is walking on the water, just coming up to you. Well, there you have a picture of God. Focus on God. Focus on Jesus walking on the water. Think about his fishing endeavors. Think about a couple of times that he had the disciples fish. Think about when in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus was going to teach a crowd. And this crowd had shown up and they were pushing in on him. There's too many people there. And so he gets in one of the boats there. And they had just been fishing all night. Peter and these people had been fishing all night. And they hadn't caught anything. And Jesus gets in that boat and he says, put off a little bit from the shore. He needed to teach the people. They're getting too close. Backs up a little bit in the boat. He finishes teaching and then he says, let's head out to deeper water and let down the nets for a catch, Peter. And Peter says, Lord, we've just fished all night. We haven't caught anything. What's Peter saying? There's nothing out there, Lord. We all night, nothing. We've already been cleaning the nets. You know how much work that is, Lord? Please. We're cleaning the nets. There's nothing out there. I'm sure that's what Peter was thinking. But he said, but if you say so, I will let down the nets. That's how we need to be in our obedience, isn't it? If you say so, Lord, whether I like it or not, whether I think it's a good idea or not, I'll do it. Well, so Peter says, if you say so, I'll do it. So they go on out into deeper water, let down the nets, and they catch so many fish, the nets are about, they're breaking, and they're trying to get them all in the boat. That's God. That's a picture. Focus on Him. You've got your own pictures of God. Focus on Him. And then the other time the disciples aren't catching anything, Jesus is on the shore and he just says, cast on the other side of the boat. They obey him. They catch a bunch of fish. That's God. Focus on God. Focus on him. A great place to focus on God is Job chapter 38. If you just want to focus on God, read Job chapter 38 anytime you want to. I'll just read a little bit of it. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimension? Surely you know. Who stretched out a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you may come and no farther? Here is where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The whole chapter goes on just God just saying some of the stuff he does on a daily basis. It's a great place to just focus on God. Focus on the Lord. The Psalms are filled with it. Just turn in the Psalms. Focus on the Lord. Focus on his attributes. God, I love as a part of my prayers just about every morning, I love to say, God, I praise you because you are sovereign, omnipotent, omnipresent, eternal, infinite, self-sufficient, immutable, righteous, holy, merciful. You are love. You are Abba, Father, you're Daddy. Wow. Just focus on him. Last night, the family was heading out to John Allen's game. I was still trying to get some things ready. For Sunday, and I was looking at this, and that was it. I thought, well, how do you do this? If I'm preaching this, you know, how do I do it? Just right now. And I thought, well, you know, for the rest, and I just focused on the Lord. I just said, for the rest of the evening, Lord, for the rest of this evening and night, let me just focus on you. And you know what you do when you do that? You see God, you project God into your future, and you say, God, I'm focusing on you right now. And Lord, I see you finishing all this stuff for Sunday, getting that ready. I see you heading out to that game. I see you witnessing to people, talking to people. I see you coming home. I see you relaxing some with the family. I see you doing... You see that? You're focusing on the Lord. That's the first step. He's giving you, he's planting that in your heart. He's giving you that vision. And we do it here. You focus on Him. Everything we've done has led us to focus on Him. Well, after that, focus on me. First focus on Him, then focus on yourself. Focus on Him, then focus on me. We see that in verse 5. Look what happens. After you focus on God for a little bit, and then you look back at yourself, "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Well, it's not a pretty sight once you've looked at the Lord, and then you look back at yourself. Peter did the same thing. Jesus caught all the fish. You remember right after that, you know what Jesus said to the Lord? He looked at the Lord and he said, "Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinful man." He saw God catch all those fish and then he saw himself. He said, just go away from me. I'm a very sinful person. Well, that's what happens when you look at God and then you look back at yourself. You say, "I can't do it." You look at Him. You look at that night, I looked at that evening and I said, "Lord, thank you. I see you doing all those things. I'm focused on you. But Lord, oh no, when I look back at me the rest of tonight, I don't see that. I couldn't do that, Lord. I see myself just messing the whole thing up, Lord. I'll blow it. Focused on me." You focus back on yourself. You focus on Him in worship here. You focus on the Lord and then you focus back on yourself. We started talking about confession and some things like that. And you look back at yourself. And Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And so our answer is, "Woe is me," when we focus back on ourselves. But then, once we do that, what's next? Focus on Him again. Focus on Him, focus on me. And then once I focus on me, I'm going to realize my need. I'm going to say, "Whoa, I am ruined, I messed up, I can't handle life, I can't do all these things you got in front of me, I can't live out your will, I can't even worship you, Lord, you said apart from me I can do nothing, I am in need, what do I do? Oh Lord, help me." And then that's what you do, you look back to Him. Say, "Now I'm focusing on you again, Lord. Here's all my needs, here's all my sins, here's everything, now I'm looking back to you." Focus on Him, we see it in verses 6 and 7. "Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for.'" Focus back on Him. Your wickedness is removed and your sin is atoned for. Notice what Isaiah did to make this happen. What did Isaiah do to make his guilt removed and his sin atoned for? Nothing. Nothing. What do you do to make your guilt removed and your sin atoned for? Nothing. Nothing. You acknowledge it. You acknowledge how sinful you are. And then you go to the Lord and you say, "Have mercy on me. Help me. I trust you. Save me from myself. Save me from my sins." And He does it. He does it. Notice that. The coal touching his lips is like Christ shedding his blood on the cross and then touching your heart. And so, back to the process. Last night, "Lord, I see your vision. I see you. That's awesome. That, what a night that would be. That'd be awesome. But Lord, I could never do that. I'm terrible. There's no way I could live like that. But I'm coming back to you and now, Lord, but I know you want me to live like that and I know you can do it. And so, Lord, I ask you to. Would you do all that? Would you do that through me? Will you do that, Lord?" And you do it here. You focus on Him. You focus on yourself. You see your sins. And then you go back to Him and you say, "Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Will you forgive me? Will you save me?" And you go back to Him. You focus on Him with whatever it is. And then the next step is rest. Rest. We see that in the second part of verse 7. See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Well, that's a relief, isn't it? Doesn't that bring some rest? Isn't it nice to know that if you've repented and you've gone to the Lord, your guilt is removed, it's gone, your sin is atoned for? And then you rest trusting Him. You rest trusting Him to save you. You rest trusting Him. And then the words just become, thanks, Lord. Thanks, Lord. So that was me last night. Lord, thank you. What an awesome thing. I'm focused on you. That'd be a great way to live tonight. Focus back on me. Lord, I can't do it. There's no way. So I'm turning to you. Lord, would you live through me? I ask you, would you do that through me? Would you give me your power, your strength? Would you do it? Huh? And then I have a choice. I can either believe Him because He wants to, and that's His plan. I can believe Him and trust Him. And if I do, then it's rest. Then I just say, thanks, Lord. Man, what a night this is going to be. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. And then I rest. Trust Him. Focus on Him. Focus on me. Focus on Him. Rest. Trusting Him. And the final word is ready. And then you're ready. Then you're ready. Then you can raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm resting, trusting you to do all this through me. Now I'm ready. What's the next step? What do I do? I'm ready for some action. Just tell me the next step. I'll do it. I'm ready. And you see that in verses 8 and 9. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. And then he gets his assignment from the Lord. And he's ready to serve. He receives his instructions. And so that's the process. That's it. That's true worship. If you just remember these five words, you got it. Him, me, him. Him, me, him, rest ready. Him, me, him, rest ready. That's it. That's worship. Him, me, him, rest ready. Focus on Him. Focus back at me. Now I'm in need. Focus back on Him. Lord, please meet these needs. I need Him, me, Him. Rest. Now I'm going to trust you to do it. Thank you. I'll rest. And I'm ready. Now I'm ready. What you got for me, Lord? What do I do? What's the action point? What's next? And that's the question for you. What's next now? What's next? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for worship. We thank you for worship here. We thank you for worship wherever we are. We thank you for worship alone with you. And Lord, we thank you just for teaching us, for what you do. And Lord, whoever is here today, Lord, if there is somebody here today, and Lord, they need to go through that process because they're in their sins. They're lost. They don't know you yet, Jesus. And they know they have sin, and they know they're guilty, and they know the penalty is death and hell. And so, Lord, I know there are some today that just want to pray that right now with you, that just want to say, Lord, I see you. I see you're a perfect God. I see myself. I'm a sinner, destined for hell. Lord, I look back to you, and I say, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for that blood that'll cover my sins. And so I look back to you, and I say, I need you. I need a Savior. Save me from my sins, Lord. Have mercy on me. Come into my life. I want to follow you. And then, Lord, help that person, Lord, to then just trust you, saying, well, thank you, Lord. Thanks for doing that. And then, Lord, I thank you that now they're ready. Now they can raise their hand and say, well, Lord, what's the first step? Well, we know from your word, Lord, it's to be baptized. We know the next step is be baptized and then start serving. Do whatever he's got next. So, Lord, whoever here that needs to come to you in that way, or maybe they just have, Lord, help them to walk down the aisle as Chris leads us in this hymn and make that decision. Lord, whoever needs to join this church, and that's what you're telling them to do, Lord, speak it clearly to them. Let them step out and do that. walk down the aisle as Chris leads in this hymn. Whoever's coming to be baptized, Lord, let them step out of the aisle, walk down as Chris leads. And Lord, whatever each person here needs to do as a result of what you have said today, may we make those decisions. May we do that. If it's something to share with the church, Lord, help them to get up and come forward and tell us. Lord, help people to pray where they are. If they need to come to the altar, call them, Lord. We give you all this. We praise you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.